So we're in Matthew chapter 19. We're going to be 13 through 15 this morning. And the word of the Lord said, "Then children were brought to him that he may lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and he went away." Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to come in your house this morning, Father God, to worship you, Father God. Let us come this morning with humility in our hearts. Father God, as Patrick said, this is all you, Father God. Humble ourselves in our worship to you, Father God. Humble ourselves in the way that we praise you, Father, in the way that we pay attention, Father God. Not to just hear your word and your truth, Father, but to apply it, to live it. Father, you tell us in Proverbs 28, 26, Father, that the man who follows his own heart is a fool, Father God. But you, Jesus, say that you are the way, the truth, and the life, Father, and that only through you, Father God, can we get to heaven. So, Father, humble us to understand that this morning, Father God. I pray for our preacher as you hide him behind the cross. Work through him, Father. Move this church this morning. It's in your son Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." The Word of God says children are a heritage from the Lord. That means that they are a valuable possession given to us by God. Given to you as parents, given to us as the church by God. This is biblical truth. It's who they are. Valuable, I would say priceless gifts from our loving Heavenly Father. And I can think of no greater dishonor done to God than to view children the way so many in our society do. Instead of blessings, children are seen as burdens. Instead of rejoicing that the Lord has provided, they are in despair that they have a child. It's evident in many ways in our society. One is that we have a historically low fertility rate in America. That's the average number of children born to a woman over her lifetime. 2.1 is the replacement rate. That means that at this fertility rate, we will keep a steady population. America's is currently at 1.62, meaning that we won't have enough children to maintain our population. Why is it so low? One reason is that the percentage of people that are choosing to remain childless has doubled over the last couple of decades. More and more people are saying, "That is not for me." They cite professional aspirations and fear of the future as major reasons they don't want to have children. They say they have more important things to do with their lives. Another factor is that folks just abort the babies that stand in the way of their future or present hardships to the tune of 1.14 million abortions in the United States in 2024. Only about 1% were for medical emergencies. And make no mistake, I know raising children is hard, this world is crazy, and that there are so many different elements that go into the abortions and the decisions towards childlessness, but God did not say that children were a heritage for the Lord if they came the right way, or if they were born without defects, or if they came at the right time. He said children are a heritage from the Lord, and you are blessed to have them, all of them. All of them. But you know, the church hasn't helped promote children as blessings. We condemn and shun the pregnant teen or the unwed mother. We have joined the world in shoving a device into the hands of our children to keep them occupied while we can go do something more important. We have outsourced the spiritual formation of our children to church programs. We've rejected the raising of children the way God intended, and the way most of us talk about parenthood just adds to the reasons that folks choose not to have children. They make those choices in the end, but you talking about what a nightmare your three-year-old or your teen is doesn't help any. And men, fathers, you are to be the leader in recognizing the blessings of children. You're the one that is supposed to lead them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You're the one that should be leading them to church, leading them to pray, leading them to study the scriptures, leading them to the Lord. But most men would rather throw baseballs than Bible verses. Most men are more capable with a bat and a ball than they are with a Bible, because most of us have spent hours and hours and hours with a ball and a bat in our hands and minutes in the scriptures. And you can replace sports with hunting or building stuff or whatever keeps you out of the Word with your kids. And don't get me wrong, I love sports. I want my children in them. But as we go into sports, we're going to walk in the Word with it. We're going to use it as a way to glorify God, not just a way for them to achieve, for them to be a part of a team. Because there's going to come a day where they have to put down that bat and that ball. There's going to come a day where they have to put down the glove, where they got to put down the hammer, where they got to put down anything that you're teaching them to invest in. It's going to come a day where they no longer have those things. And at the end of the day, what is their identity in? If it's in what they've done, then we have failed. If it's in Christ, then we have succeeded. And that's my job, that's your job, men, as their daddy, is to get them to Jesus. And yeah, you're going to get frustrated with your kids. I get frustrated at my children. They aggravate me at times and I lash out. But you know what happens in those moments most often? The Holy Spirit shows me what an idiot I am and how far I still have left to go to be the man God wants me to be. He makes me look at me and my failings, not look at my children and say they're burdens. He uses them to show me where sanctification still needs to happen in my life. Because seeing your kids, any kids, as burdens is a lie from Satan. Children are a heritage, a blessing to the man that has them. And we have to steward those blessings for the glory of God. How many of you want good for your children? If you don't have children, how many of you just want good for children? Right? That's most of us, right? Our focal passage today, I think one thing stands out in that is that Jesus is the ultimate good for your children. Jesus is the ultimate good for your children. You as a parent have no greater calling in life than to get your kids to Jesus. These parents at the beginning of this, they understand that. Matthew 19:13, then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. Jesus had just finished teaching about marriage and divorce and how marriage was this beautiful covenant that God had ordained. And Anthony's probably like, how did I get divorced and you get children? But as he has ended that, immediately these families begin bringing their children to Jesus. The word then there at the beginning of that sentence means immediately. Immediately, as he was finishing up this conversation, they begin bringing their children to him. And the language in Luke and Mark and the parallels here shows that this wasn't just a singular event, but a continual progression of people. They were pouring into where Jesus was to bring their children to him. Why? So that he would lay his hands on them and pray for them. This was a Jewish tradition that you brought your children to the wisest teacher around, the best rabbi, the one that you think is somehow closer to God, and you have them pray over your child. And they pray for three things: that they would be famous in the law, faithful in marriage, and abundant in good works. All good things, right? They wanted those blessings on their children. This prayer and the laying of hands, it tracks all the way back to Genesis 48:14, where Jacob blesses Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And it continues even today in Jewish culture. See, these parents, they have seen and heard about Jesus. They've seen the miracles, the power, the teaching, the authority, and they have found in him the one they want to lay hands on their child, the one they want the blessings from. They've seen in him a connection and power from God, and they want him to be the one that prays for their children, because they know when he prays, stuff happens. But understand, as they're bringing him, this is not for salvation. Jesus isn't saving these children. He's blessing them. He's not baptizing them. He's praying over them. It's where we get our baby dedications here at Harmony, where parents come before us and they commit their child to the Lord and covenant with us as a church to help get their child to Jesus, that this is a community endeavor. In Matthew 19, 13, Jesus is putting his hands on their heads and blessing them. And it's so beautiful that these parents are bringing them. They've just heard of who he is and what he can do. And how awesome is it that our Savior is one that children are willing to go to. Like, he's so kind and gentle and loving that they're attracted. You can tell a lot about people by what kids say about them, right? But these parents didn't know that salvation was by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But you do. Or I hope you do. And if they were willing to get their kid to Jesus just for an earthly blessing, how much more should we be striving to get our kids to Jesus for the eternal blessing, the redeeming of their souls? We should be pouring ourselves into this with all that we are. And notice that they didn't bring their children to the synagogue. They didn't bring them to the church house. They didn't bring them to youth group. They didn't bring them to Sunday school. They took them directly to Jesus. Church and church programs are beautiful and needed things, but nothing replaces a parent's desperate desire and seeking after getting their children directly to Jesus themselves. These people wanted good for their children and saw that Jesus was the one that could do the greatest good. But then in come the disciples. All right, read the rest of Matthew 19, 13. Then the children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked these people. The disciples see these little children with their parents. They see this crowd coming. And they're like, no way this is happening. You know, a couple of you might have been all right, but hold up. Jesus has got way more important things to do than be putting his hands on all these little crumb crunchers. They were just embodying the religious culture of the time. Children were cherished in the Jewish community, but they were also seen as useless in the religious sense. If you remember, the Jewish religion of the time was all about doing good works to get to God, that you had to work yourself towards him. Well, little infants, which is what the term there for children is here, were not able to do any works. They couldn't do any good works, and so they are seen as less than in this religious culture until they reached an age where they could practice their religion. These children were to be seen, not heard. And so the disciples just see them as a waste of time. Jesus could be teaching more about the kingdom. They wanted to hear more about this marriage thing, right? They said, I don't even want to get married if this is what it is. Jesus could be doing more miracles. He could be reaching people that really mattered. And so the language here is that they just kept fussing at these people. Get out of here. Jesus has got more important things to do. I think the American church has grown like this in many ways. We want children around, but not if they mess up the important stuff. I'll tell you right now, the baby making noise in the back is a blessing to my ears. We have children's church, and I think there's benefit in that for those that might not be able to follow the sermon. But if you want to keep your kid in here, you sit them right beside you. And if they make some noise, it won't bother me a bit, and it shouldn't bother any of us, because that points to a parent that wants to get their child to Jesus. Because we all need to understand that children are gospel priorities, not distractions. Gospel priorities. All the way back, as he had called out his people out of the wilderness, he was telling them that they were gospel priorities. Deuteronomy 6, 7 and 9, about the commands of God, he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. God told the Israelites, it is a pressing priority for you that you teach these commandments to the next generation, that they might know me and fear me and love me. And today you must prioritize teaching your children the gospel, teaching them who Jesus is and what he did for them and how he commands that we live as his people, So many ministries in our church are aimed at that, not to take your place as the disciple maker of your family, but to supplement and come alongside parents so that we can help you get your kid to Jesus. Because statistics say if they hadn't made that profession of faith by 18, they likely never will. God is sovereign. He can do anything. But the statistics bear out, if it's not done by 18, it likely never will. Harmony will seek to evangelize everyone, but we will make children central and not peripheral in that. And we will seek to remove, and you should seek to remove, all barriers to your child's faith in Jesus. Because Jesus wants children to come to Him freely. To come to Him freely. We see it in Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Mark uses language that tells us that Jesus got mad at the disciples here. He says he was indignant with them. How dare they stop those little children from coming to him? How dare they presuppose that there was something more important than those little ones to Jesus? And Jesus is making a statement here about the current children, those that the parents were bringing them, saying, "Let them come to me." That's in the present tense in that scripture. And then he's talking about how he wants future children to be able to come as well. He says, "And do not hinder them." That is, current and future children should be able to get to Jesus freely, back then and today. What's that mean for you? Don't ever stop your children. Don't ever do anything to stop your children from coming to Jesus. Don't let the sin in your life, don't let what you think about their age, don't let rules and regulations, don't let their upbringings, don't let your religious practices, don't let anything stand in the way of your child getting to Jesus. They start asking questions about what it means to be saved. They say, I believe in Jesus. And you certainly make sure they know what they're talking about and they are repentant and they have an understanding of the gospel, but you clear everything else out of the way that they can run right into His arms. At least as much as you can clear. Because the world is going to throw enough at them. We don't need to add to it. And isn't it beautiful when a child expresses faith? There's nothing better than to hear a child singing, "Jesus loves me," and to see them filled with joy, knowing that that truth resides in their heart. Nothing better than seeing a young man like Knox be baptized, profess faith, and be full of joy and free from the cynicism that grows in the faith of so many today. Jesus recognizes the power of childlike faith. That's why he says here, "For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." To these little children and those like them belong the kingdom of heaven. I think there's two things to draw out of this. One, I think this is solid proof for the age of accountability. Jesus is saying that to such, meaning the little infant children before him, belong the kingdom of heaven, the eternal kingdom. These little infants that have no way to understand who Jesus is, that have no way to reason out their faith, they have no way to understand that they are sinners, and make no doubt, if you had a toddler, you'd know that they are sinners. They are not innocent. They may not even be able to utter words yet, but he says, to such belongs the kingdom. For those of us that have lost children to miscarriage or stillbirth or death at an early age, I believe this should fill us with hope that our children have gone to be with Jesus and we will see them again one day. King David had that understanding. When his child died, he says, "He will not come to me, but I shall go to him." There is some special grace in which the blood of Jesus is applied to those little children, and theirs is the kingdom. If you endured this loss, I hope that you can take some solace in that today. But there's also an element of this where Jesus is repeating from having the little child in his arms in Matthew 18 that we must become childlike to enter the kingdom. You come to Jesus today and you must come childlike in your humility, knowing that you don't have anything to offer and you need everything from him. You come childlike in your dependence on Jesus alone to save you. You come childlike in your openness with your failings and your struggles. You come to Jesus like that and he says, "The kingdom is yours." You become one of God's blessed children. Jesus does bless these children. Matthew 19:15, Jesus affirms his love for the children by laying his hands on them and praying for them and then moving on to his next ministry opportunity. He shows his disciples that these are not distractions but gospel priorities. Jesus loves your children more than you do. But he wants you to love them biblically. How can you love your child biblically? I want to end with four practical ways. And I want men to remember you're the leader in this. Number one, you pray them to Jesus. For those that don't have children yet, you can start now. For those with a child in the womb, pray while they're cooking. For those with children at home, pray it over them aloud. For those with adult children, it's never too late to pray them to Jesus. Pray that Jesus will save your children. You got them at home, you pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, I want you to bring salvation to my child. I've prayed that over all three of mine, and praise be to God, he saved them all. Pray it out loud. Pray that you'll be a father or mother that shines the light of Jesus so that your children will see it and give glory to your Father in heaven. That they will see the difference he makes. Pray that God will give you the wisdom to parent your child toward Jesus at every phase and every step of the way. Pray them to Jesus. Number two, teach them of Jesus. Get the Word of God in front of them as much as you can. Hang it all over your house, right? Those aren't just like little things you put up. Those little paintings or whatever y'all do, the ladies like to do these crafts. They're terrible, but you know, when they got scripture on them, take them and put them somewhere where your children will see it. So that everywhere they go, in the bathroom, in their bedrooms, in the living room, wherever they go, they see that the priority is on the scriptures. Teach them to worship. Teach them the importance of church. Men, sing these songs out loud. We know you don't sound good, but you're singing to Jesus, not us. They need to see you love Jesus enough not to care if somebody doesn't like the way you sing. Teach them the gospel from Genesis to Revelation. Teach them how to pray, not just repeated prayers, but to fall down before Jesus and to just pour their heart out. Teach them your testimony. They need to understand how the truth of the gospel came real in your life. Teach them of Jesus. Number three, show them how to live for Jesus. Show them how to live for Jesus. Some of y'all are here today reluctantly because you had parents that taught you the scriptures and brought you to church and didn't live it out. It was hypocrisy. Don't be that guy. Seek a holy life so that your kids can see that it's actually possible. Confess your sins before them and apologize when you sin against them. If you don't know the scriptures here today, learn them so you can teach them. Prioritize the things of God. Take the word of God to the ball field with you and let your actions as a fan or a coach glorify God and not just satisfy the flesh. That's too easy. That's weak. You need to be men of God. And that's what you need to teach your sons to be. Not just a man. A man of God. And you need to be a father that your daughters can use as a measuring stick for their future husbands. That's how you love them. If that's not you right now, there's still time, and his grace is sufficient. God will give you the strength to do it. Show them how to live for Jesus. Number four, surround them with people that love them this way. Researchers tell us it takes four or five relationships with those outside of their immediate family for kids to remain in church through college, to not slip away after they turn 18. God has put people in your life, whether you can see it or not, that can help you get your children to Jesus. We've seen it this morning, right? The McIsaacs have prayed and prayed and prayed for their child. They've had other people praying. They've had people in our ministry praying. And then he goes to this event and he hears the gospel and he responds by faith, surrounded by people that love him, praying for him, showing him the way, and he makes a profession of faith. Surround your children with these people. Most of y'all know that your child can hear something from you 1,000 times, but then somebody else comes and says it one time and they get it. It's the most frustrating thing in the world. But it's true, right? The church is the place to find those people, but you need to be proactive in asking brothers to intentionally invest in your sons and sisters to intentionally invest in your daughters. I've seen the blessings of this in my own children's lives as brothers and sisters have invested in them, and I am so thankful that God put them in my life. Our children are a heritage from the Lord. I pray that you can rejoice in that and steward them as the priceless blessings they are from God, that He might be glorified in their salvation and in their worship for all eternity. Get them to Jesus. Let us pray. Holy and gracious Father, thank you for grace. Because there are far more times in my life that I mess this up than get it right. That I pray, God, that as we study your word, as we see what Jesus thought about children, what your word says about our children, God, we might have that understanding on our own. God, I pray for those that are in here that don't know Jesus. I pray, God, that in this moment, in this time, as they have heard how Jesus loved these children, as they have heard about His saving grace, as they have heard about His redeeming death on the cross and His resurrection, God, that you might be calling them to be your children, that they would confess Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts that you raised him from the dead, that they would repent of their sins and want to follow Jesus as King all of their days. I pray, God, if that's happened to somebody, you would draw them to yourself this morning. I pray, God, for the parents that are struggling with their children for whatever reason. I pray that they don't see them as burdens, but as blessings, and they're looking for ways that they can get that child to Jesus no matter the age. Because we know that you are mighty to save. And we want to see that happen in our children. Thank you for all those, God, that volunteer in our children's ministries, that are willing to steward these children well, that are willing to come alongside these parents and pour Jesus over them. Continue to bring them here, God, that they will hear the gospel, that they may be saved. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name.